So we've introduced you to the woman, verse 1, who is clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head is a crown of 12 stars. 12 stars, 12 tribes of Israel. This woman represents Israel. She was with child because Israel was to give birth to Messiah. Messiah came through the nation of Israel because Israel was chosen as the nation through whom Messiah would come. All kinds of things took place in the Old Testament to guarantee that Jesus would be born physically through Israel and that he would come back through Israel, which is why there is such an effort to destroy Israel by the devil. Because if he can destroy Israel, God's promises wouldn't come true, God would be shown a liar, and therefore Satan would rule. So destroying Israel is of utmost importance to Satan. So there's appeared this red dragon, and we know that this dragon, according to verse 9, is called the devil. She gave birth in verse 5 to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. So that is the mission of Messiah. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. We do know that Jesus ascended to heaven. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Why? Because she's under attack from the dragon, which we are told is Satan. So that she would be nourished, that is protected, for, here it is, 1,260 days or 42 months or 3.5 years. 3.5 years is the second half of the tribulation. The second half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. The reason the second half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation is that's when the great wrath of God will be manifested within the 7-year period, which is the 70th week of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. And so there's a battle in heaven. There's a battle in heaven between Michael, chief angel in charge, and with the dragon, with the devil. We went into the fact that angels are spirit beings who are responsible and are the agents, if you will, on behalf of God or the devil, called demons. If they're bad angels, they're called demons. The good angels are called angels or ministering spirits. And their job is to act on behalf of their leader between heaven and history, between eternity and time. We told you, Hebrews 1:14, every believer has been assigned an angel. That angel's job is to counteract demonic influences on your life because Satan has given you a demon or demons. So when we talk about people having demons, those things in your life that seek to own you and control you, a believer cannot be under demonic possession, but you can be under demonic influence. He can influence your thinking. He can influence your actions. The job of the angels or ministering spirits is to resist that within the context of the will of God. Here in the book of Revelations, we find out that the angels are wrestling with the red dragon and his cohorts, the demons, who, verse 9, deceives the whole world. Satan's chief strategy is deception. Now, this is a very important principle. He cannot win by authority because of his defeat on the cross. So he has to now win by deception. So if you and I are losing to the devil, it's not because he's overpowered you. The devil didn't make you do it, in spite of what Flip said. He didn't make you do it, but what he did was influence your thinking. See, you only do what the mind tells you to do. So he has to affect your thinking or override your thought in order to get you to function in his way. So he brings influences that deceive you. We see it with our children. We want to know, how are you thinking like that? In fact, we say it. You got to have lost your mind, right? Where is that coming from? Well, it may have come through a peer. It may come through television. But the idea is to deceive. He's done that since Eve. because he cannot defeat you by authority. He's got to defeat you by deception. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, verse 10. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. God has allowed Satan access to him. And in that access, he accuses us. Why? Because he knows something about God. He knows God's perfections, his righteousness, his holiness. And therefore, he knows that that will break fellowship between God and us. And so he stands as an accuser against us so that fellowship is broken with us, so that the benefits to us will not be experienced by us. And his angels were thrown down with him. So you've got this battle in the angelic world that is affecting earth. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, your relationship to Jesus Christ, because of the word of their testimony. In other words, you will not defeat the devil in your life if you are a secret agent Christian. If you are a spiritual CIA representative or a covert operative. If you are a secret agent Christian, you will have no authority. You may be saved by the blood, but if you are a secret agent, in other words, you are a closet Christian. Nobody knows you're saved but you. Let me ask you, on your job, if they accused you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would you be found innocent of all charges? Because it's not clear that you, not a believer in God, but a follower of Jesus Christ. The word of their testimony. If you confess me before men, Matthew 10, I will confess you before my Father. So that is your declaration. Romans 9 and 10, you know, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Belief gives you salvation. Confession gives you deliverance. Salvation, he's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about deliverance. The word saved means delivered, depends on the context to talk about which deliverance we're referring to. So if you want to have victory over the devil, you can't be a secret agent Christian. And then it says at the end of verse 11, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. God wants you to love him more than you love you. Rebuke, O heavens, verse 12, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth, the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Now, the devil can read too. He can read too. He has seen history work out. He has seen the promises of God work out. He's seen the prophecies come true. He thinks he's gotten Jesus beat. He kills him. But Jesus gets up out of the grave. So he sees this. So he probably has memorized the book of Revelation. And according to the time limit of 3.5 years, whatever he's going to do, he's got to do it in these 3.5 years. Because you'll see in chapter 20, he's getting ready to be locked up 4,000 years. So he knows that I only have a brief window to try to thwart the program of God. I can't kill God, but I can try to destroy Israel, which in fact would kill God because it would render God's word not true. So he's going to go full hog in the last 42 months, in the last 3.5 years, to bring destruction to Israel and the world in order to nullify God so that God's word will not demonstrate itself to have been authentic. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, who gave birth to the male child. Now, that is, the Jesus came through Israel. So the battle of Armageddon is what stages the second coming, and it's like an epic kind of scenario there, but he's got to go for broke now because his time is limited. With two wings, verse 14, of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time. Time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. One time, two times, half a time. 3.5 years. So that's the same time segment that the devil has to work with, that God is now protecting Israel during this time. So God supernaturally protects Israel while Satan is coming after Israel. And you're going to find out the whole world winds up in this battle. And that's the battle of Armageddon. Verse 15, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. So some supernatural activity will come from him to bring about the destruction of Israel. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So Satan will unleash something that's called a flood, so an overwhelming something, in order to bring about the destruction of Israel. And God says he opens up the earth and absorbs whatever Satan has. Now, this is big in the tribulation period, but there are probably some people here who've seen God swallow up something that Satan was trying to overwhelm you with. And one of the ways that you discover the reality of God is in the context of being overwhelmed. Flood is to be overwhelmed. When you are being overwhelmed with something like a flood, and watch God open up and suck it up so that the destruction meant for you. Or as the scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will raise up a standard against him. And that is one of the ways that God validates himself and will therefore validate himself here. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, verse 17, Israel, and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And so he is now even more angry because his time is short. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea having 10 horns. This comes out of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 4. These 10 horns are the European Confederacy that comes together in Europe. The European Confederacy, or the old Roman Empire split up. It became Europe. It says there will be a 10-nation confederacy, politically, economically, militarily. Europe, NATO, Euro. A 10-nation confederacy that will, called the 10 horns, that will be the centerpiece for the Antichrist action. Now, we're in the second half of the tribulation. In the first half, he looks like the friend of Israel and the friend of everybody. It's in the second half when all hell breaks loose and we're in the great tribulation. So he comes, and on his heads are blasphemous names. So he's going to blaspheme the names of God. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. He was like a bear. He was like a lion. He was like a dragon. All that's to say he's a monster. This man is a monster. There have been monsters in history. Hitler was a monster. Stalin, Lenin, they were monsters. Mao Zedong were monsters. Why? Because they sought to exterminate people en masse. What made them monsters is they sought to exterminate people en masse. What is he trying to do? Exterminate a whole nation of people en masse. So he is a monster. And so with that in mind, they worship the dragon because they worship the dragon, Satan, because he gave authority to the beast. So this will be a satanically inspired leader. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, or the Antichrist, and who is able to wage war with him? So this beast, Antichrist, is going to establish himself out of Europe as this world leader. He will be empowered by Satan, and there will be a religious aspect to him because he will be worshiped. And he's going to direct worship to the devil. Now, I know you and I today, we're Christians, we live in America. Why would anyone worship the devil? Well, to get to worshiping the devil, you have to dismiss God. you and I are watching the dismissal of God. In Europe, God has already been dismissed. Well, when you see what the beast does and what his helper does, you can't help but worship the dragon. I'll show you why in a moment. But there's going to be this worship. There is given to him a mouth, verse 5, speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, in blasphemy his name and his tabernacle, that is those who dwell in heaven. So he's blaspheming a God and God's throne in heaven. It was also given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. So he is now a world ruler. You know what Hitler said? He said, today Europe, tomorrow the world. His goal was to rule the whole world out of Germany, then to incorporate Europe. God did a couple of things. I don't want to get too deep into history. God did a couple of things when the Germans were on their way to take over Russia and cross the Rhine. They ran into something they didn't expect, and that was a snowstorm. And the snowstorm kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, which made the Germans pull back and not be able to continue with Russia. On the other hand, they were coming to England. And God intervened then because America changed its mind. America was not going to be involved in the war. America's changed its mind, joined Winston Churchill in England, and was able to push back the Germans there. And those of you who know World War II know all the stuff that went along with that. But the point is, there was intervention. That is because he was an Antichrist. He wasn't the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to have world domination. I'm just bringing that up to say that it's not, we shouldn't be surprised that people want to rule the whole world. And all these movies we like to go see where people are trying to take over the world and all that, well, that's really real, and it will be made real in this scenario. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. So there's a book. Everybody's born in sin. Everybody's born in sin. It's called original sin. The sin of Adam has been inherited by every person. The Bible says Jesus died before the foundation of the world. Now, he died in history, but in the plan and program and mind of God, he died before the foundation of the world. In other words, God calculated the death of Christ before human beings ever existed. Because, of course, God knows the future, and the future for God is the present. Everybody's name is in the original book. Everybody's name is in the original book. To not be in the book, your name has to be erased. That's why Romans chapter 5, verse 18 says, in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. And he uses the word all for both groups. In Adam all die, but in Christ all, the same all, are made alive. The death of Christ addressed the problem of original sin. That's why babies go to heaven. Babies go to heaven, infants go to heaven because they're covered by what Jesus did before the foundation of the world relative to original sin. The way your name gets erased out of the book is personal sin. That is, when you sin knowingly and you reject Christ, your name is removed until you are converted. When you are converted, then your name remains. So original sin is covered, which is why people who don't have the intellect to get saved, you know, people who are born intellectual challenges or babies, that's why John 3 says that people are condemned because they refuse to believe on him. So you got to choose to reject. Because some people have this view of God that, you know, he picks some people to be saved and he skips other people because he doesn't want them to be saved. No, because then you would contradict God loving the whole world and Jesus tasting death for every man. So that would contradict that. No, you have to opt out. You opt out by sin and refusing the message of salvation. You receive it, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But my point is, everybody whose name is not in the book are going to worship the devil. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity to captivity, verse 10, if anyone kills with the sword, and with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. So this is going to be a tough time in the tribulation because you're living under a death penalty. As you'll see as we go along, if you don't take the mark of the beast, that's a death penalty. Now, everybody won't die, but you're under a death penalty in the tribulation. That's why it's much harder to get saved in that period of time. But here it is. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Coming up out of the earth. The word earth means land, coming out of the land. And the land usually refers to Israel. So this is a Jewish person. So he comes out of the land and he has two horns like a lamb and he spoke as a dragon. Oh, wait a minute now. He's got the look of a lamb and the tongue of a dragon. He's got this soft side and he got this devil side. He exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and all those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. The unholy trinity. You got the dragon, the first beast, and the second beast. The first beast causes the whole world to worship the dragon, and then the dragon causes the whole world to worship the first beast. The second beast causes everybody to worship the dragon. The Father calls everybody to worship the Son. The Son gives glory to the Father, and the Holy Spirit gives glory to Christ. You see, what Satan is doing is trying to replicate God. It's the unholy Trinity. And notice how much he wants to replicate God at the end, whose fatal wound was healed. So the first beast has a fatal wound. A fatal wound is a wound that kills you. So he raises the first beast from the dead. He's imitating the crucifixion and resurrection. So he's imitating the true God. And he deceives those, and he performs great signs, verse 13, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. Now, why wouldn't you believe he's God? If he's doing all this stuff, can rain down fire, can do all this, can raise people from the dead, and he proclaims he's the true God, you gonna believe that? Just because somebody can do a miracle and a little hocus pocus doesn't make it authentic. That doesn't mean it didn't really happen. That doesn't mean it happened righteously. That's why we're told in 1 John 4, try the spirits. Because just because it sounds good and talks good and does all the stuff doesn't make it automatically come from God. Now, God does do miracles, but he does miracles in a righteous way, not an unrighteous way. So he deceives those who dwell on the earth, verse 14, because of the signs which was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So look, like you're sitting in your living room. You're watching CNN, Fox. You're watching whatever your news station is and you look at a television. And they show a picture of the image of the beast, this huge statue of the beast. And the false prophet, beast number two, causes beast number one statue to come alive and start speaking. Starts to interface. You are stunned. You are mesmerized. Because he's been pulling down fire from heaven. He's got the beast being resurrected. Now the image of the beast is talking. You got all this stuff happening. Now I know this sounds sci-fi-ish. I know it sounds sci-fi-ish. But where do you think they got the idea of sci-fi from? See, the sci-fi, the concept of it, and many of the illustrations of it is really adaptations of the Bible. So if men can take something real and make it fake, see, let me put it this way. In order to have an imitation of something, there must be a real thing that brought about the imitation. So, Everybody's worshiping. He's called, verse 9:16, he causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Six is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. It's the number of man repeated three times. Six for the dragon, six for the first beast, six for the second beast. They're wearing the name of the unholy Trinity. In other words, they have given public recognition and identification. Everybody on earth, unless you reject the beast and place yourself under a sentence of death, will submit themselves to be ruled. And you cannot live without this on your hand or on your head. Even now, if you've been paying attention to the news, they're talking about embedding chips in people so that they can be identified, followed, everything else. I had a person of note tell me just the other day that there is no phone call you can make that cannot be put under surveillance. You know, we had all that issue here recently. Everybody, in order to operate, to buy, to sell, to eat, to do business, to operate, to work, you will not be able to function apart from the grace of God, because the beast will bring everybody under his control. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now, I know there's some religions that come around and tell you the 144,000 are the people who are going to get saved. Absolutely not. The 144,000 are Jewish evangelists. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of a loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and elders. And no one could learn the song except 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have been kept chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits. First fruits are always the first part of something. The Bible says Jesus is the first fruits of our resurrection, meaning he went ahead of us. And because he rose, we will rise. So first fruit means that which goes ahead. These have been purchased from among men as the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouths. They were blameless. So he describes these evangelists as spiritual people who will be sent forth as the beginning of the mass of people who are going to get saved during the tribulation. A lot of people are going to get saved during the tribulation, but a lot of people are not going to get saved during the tribulation because they're going to take the mark of the beast. Now, we've all been to a play, and where the curtain is closed. So you don't see the play. You're just waiting for the play. So you're just sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting for the curtain to open. You can kind of know that you're close to its opening when you hear movement behind the stage. Or you may hear some instruments, because they're doing a little practicing on the instruments. In other words, there's rumbling, indicating you're close to showtime, as opposed to when there's dead silence. If you listen carefully, you hear the rumblings. You hear the rumblings. The worldwide ability to communicate. Everybody thought Russia was off the scene. Russia shows up in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Everybody thought Russia was up overnight, and you're seeing the re-rise of Russia. That's why you can't get excited when you see things look like they're going in the opposite direction, because they can turn on a dime. God guaranteed that the Middle East would be the center of the world, because that's where Israel is located, and the way he guaranteed it was a three-letter word called oil. Oil is the guarantor that the Middle East stays as the center of the world, because the Middle East can shut the world down because of oil. If you listen carefully, there are rumblings. So I would suggest, now, I'm not a date setter. I don't know when Christ is going to come, and maybe this is just a pause in the process. I don't know, but this I know. If you've ever been waiting to get serious, if you've ever been waiting to be a real Christian, this would be a good time to start. Because like Satan, I don't think there's a lot of time left. And when you meet the Lord, you want to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. You may say, but what if I've fallen down? Get up. Get up. What if the devil has knocked you down? Rocky Five? Rocky Five. That's my, I love all the Rockies, but Rocky Five, that was my one. I love Rocky Five. Because that's when he was retired. And because he was beaten up, too many injuries, he couldn't fight anymore. And this young fighter comes named Tommy Gunn. And Tommy Gunn asked Rocky Balboa to be his trainer. And so Rocky Balboa becomes the trainer for Tommy Gunn to turn him into a champion. So Tommy Gunn becomes a champion. But Tommy Gunn got the big head. Tommy Gunn didn't need Rocky anymore. He was rich. He was famous. He was popular. And so he kicked Rocky to the curb. The whole movie, Rocky V, comes down to the last 15 minutes. Because Tommy Gunn confronts Rocky, hits Rocky's brother-in-law, and knocks him down. Then threatens Rocky. Rocky tears off his shirt and goes outside to fight this young guy, Tommy Gunn. But Tommy Gunn is too young, too strong, and too fast. Rocky's trying, but this guy is too good, a lot younger. Finally, he hits Rocky Balboa with a right cross. Rocky Balboa hits the ground in a daze. While laying on the ground, he remembers. And it shows you some of the things he's thinking while laying on the ground. It shows a picture of Apollo Creed. That's Rocky I and Rocky II. And he remembers how he fought back. Then it shows you Rocky III, Clubber Lang, Mr. T. How he lost the championship, but he came back. Then there's Rocky IV, Ivan Drago, the Russian. He's remembering all this, but he still can't get up because he'd been knocked down too hard. Then his last memory is of his old coach, Mickey. And Mickey's standing over him saying, get up. Get up. Get up, you bum. Because Mickey loves you. Now that's when the music came on. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 you know, dun, 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 dun. He gets up. Tommy Balboa is walking away. He says, yo, Tommy, come on back. One more round. He found power that he didn't have when he remembered somebody who had died, but who came back to life and told him to get up. So I don't care what knocks you down. I don't care how long you've been down. I just want to close by saying, get up. Get up. Get up, you bums, because Jesus loves you.